Hello, everybody, and welcome to I'm Actually Comics for March 27th.
Damn.
I know we always say that there's too many goddamn comics, but there. This is insanity.
Yes, we will be doing this podcast until April.
Yes, this is nutso.
We will not have covered every book that came out.
But, yeah, we'll try to get what we can. I'm Tristan.
I'm Bob.
And let's blow through some stuff.
Let's just do it. We can't spend too long on any of these things or our brains will fry inside our skull pans.
Yes. Maneaters, number 7. One of my favorite books is out.
I didn't even read it.
It's great. There's introduction of a new character. Well, not really.
It's that messed up thing you showed me.
Yes. Also just wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great book.
So read it. Maneaters, number 7.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about Ice Cream Man. I actually didn't read this, but I mean, if you know Ice Cream Man, you know this is going to be amazing.
If you know the Ice Cream Man, you know to stop him when he's passing by.
Exactly, just like David Lee Roth always told you. What a great comic. If you like horror and you like artsy horror, it's the book for you.
Yeah, I literally skimmed Ice Cream Man, didn't read it. A lot of these things, unfortunately, there literally are so many. How many did you list on the website?
147 separate listings today.
That's one
for books.
Week of stuff. So this is if you want something. There's lots of choices.
We do have a lot of things on the web, so hit us up at coastofthecomics.com.
Yeah.
I did a lot of work today, so hopefully somebody buys some of that.
Do it. But Ice Cream Man looks like
so did Chad. Chad did a lot of work on Sunday as well. thank you, Chad.
So Ice Cream Man, just to say, like flipping through it, looks like kind of like a return to the early issues style of the early issues where it's kind of like not – the last couple issues were almost like continuity issues.
Yeah, super weird. Overall, like the Ice Cream Man was in it as a character for the last couple.
And he's got like, and he's the bad guy, and then he's got a good. This is just kind of like another one issue horror story kind of thing based on a TV thing theme. Anyway, whatever.
Anyway,
Batgirl.
Batgirl 33.
I loved Batgirl until the last page, but you know, it's a good book. It's like her brother who's a serial killer, Jim Gordon's son, the bad serial killer. And this has a guest artist who I really liked. Who is the artist on this? The artist on this is
Johnny
Casagrande.
I like that person.
Elena Casagrande. She is great. Written by Marguerite Scott. It is a he's out of jail and she's gotta figure it out before he kills again. If that's your kind of story, Batgirl is looking good.
Yeah, and speaking of return to forms, Doctor Strange 12. This is really fun. This really brings you back to a Gene Colan kind of version of Doctor Strange.
Yeah, a little Ditkoian kind of space epic kind of thing.
Yeah, some little weird Ditko molecules in the ether and some like big Gene Colan sleeves on the
The only thing about this costume. One that I would, and it's a minor gripe, but I think it's the side effect of Marvel having just a lot of books. You got Galactus in this, but you also have Galactus in the Fantastic Four. It's kind of like maybe coordinate these things a little bit better and not have Galactus fighting two different superheroes in the same month. But you know, whatever. It's Doctor Strange and Galactus and a bunch of cosmic guys.
But I don't know what's going on with the ending of this, but I like it.
No, that's what happens at the end.
there's a big splash at the end that makes no sense, but I'm stoked on it. Keep going.
Ooh, that's the next issue cover.
Yeah.
So that's really just the next issue. Neat. That's a great cover. And this planet with the stripes on it is so Steve Ditko, it's not even funny.
It's great.
Okay,
let's talk about a new book that rules.
Oh, did I love this book?
I love this book as well.
Read it from cover to cover, and that's one of the only books that I did that with this week. It was so good. It is called Dial H for Hero. Number 1 from DC Comics. It is written by Sam Humphries and is drawn by Joe Quinones, and it who does like the most amazing Rob Liefeld pastiche in the middle of it.
It's so good.
It's great. It's just, you know, it's an introduction to the character. Not a lot of heavy lifting going on in terms of like a story. It's just like, here, check this out. This is what's going on. Great first issue.
This is the thing that they're doing where they're going to start going for like kitschy eras of superhero stuff and like using people's idea. I love that idea. If it's like, this is a specifically 80s kind of idea, like It pulls a real 90s Rob Liefeld character out as his first hero that he dials, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really, really stoked on it.
Truck yeah.
Truck yeah.
So it's basically... The H dial, in case you don't know, is like a 60s DC thing where you get this dial. It's a literally a rotary phone dial that has letters on it. And if you spell hero with the letters, you turn into a hero for 1 hour. And so now it's a new character that has the H dial. And it's just a lot of fun. I really dug it.
Yeah.
Daredevil.
Daredevil number three.
Number three.
Again, man.
Zdarsky, he's killing it. This is the best Daredevil series. And I'm sorry to anyone who's done a Daredevil series recently, but this is what you want in a Daredevil book.
It very much is.
Yeah. Also has a guest star from the seedier underbelly of Marvel.
Yes.
Crimson Lotus came out. It's the last issue in the miniseries. We don't need to say much else. Crimson Lotus number five, from the Mignolaverse, John Arcudi, who I like to plug because he's awesome. Mindy Lee, great artist. Good stuff.
Avengers No Road Home number seven.
Yeah, turning out to be
this book that was nothing when it started, and I thought was just going to be a pile of garbage.
It's a sequel to a book that was really annoying too.
Yeah.
Like this is really good. I dig Avengers No Road Home. This is number seven.
And
I
also
think
getting Conan into the Marvel Universe is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and kind of like even having fun with like how does Conan fit into a superhero universe, and like what does Conan think about that? I thought it was good, and the art was really good by Paco Medina, who I think is an unsung hero of Marvel Comics currently, and whatever comics company employs him. He's a really good artist. I enjoyed that. Good book. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at Alien, the unproduced screenplay of Alien.
Man.
This is a dream come true for Aliens fans. This is the thing that you've been waiting to read since you probably heard about it when you were complaining about how bad Alien 3 was the first time you saw it. This is William Gibson's unproduced screenplay. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. This is the last issue,
I think.
That's a shame.
I think it's the end.
You get lots of Hicks, you get lots of Bishop, you get all of these characters that they killed off for budgetary reasons that everyone was pissed about. And they're awesome. It's great.
And in addition, the art is really good, and it is drawn by a guy named Johnny Christmas.
Johnny Christmas has done some other cool stuff, too.
Johnny Christmas. I love it.
I can't remember what it was he did, but I liked something
he's
he
great.
Did
He's great. He's British is all I really know.
No.
I'm going to talk really, really briefly about a comic that I don't know how many people are reading, but Terrifics, number 14. This is the one of the hangers-on of the Dark Knight's New Age of Metal, whatever it's called, New Age of Heroes. By Jeff Lemire and Joe Bennett, or Joe Bennett and Jeff Lemire. I love this book because of the characters that are in it, but also because it is a fun superhero comic. And this continues along the line of it got a little meandery for a while, but this is a tight focus and kind of redefines the team in a good way. So I liked it. Also, Umbrella Academy Hotel Oblivion number 6, which I believe I haven't read it because I want to read them all together. Is the last issue of the latest, and if you might not be the last issue, I don't know.
I feel like everybody's doing 5-issue arcs. So
yeah, well, this is
weird.
6. It doesn't. It's hard to tell. Anyway, I'm not going to spoil the ending of a comic that I'm really excited to read. If you're jonesing for those, waiting for the reprinting of the Umbrella Academy trade paperbacks, I'll sell you mine for a lot of money. No, I won't. But you can read this one. Because why not read chapter 3 first? I don't know.
Exactly.
What else are we going to talk about next?
Let's talk about Wonder Woman.
I love this new thing. So last issue, Wonder Woman teamed up with Giganta to fight Titans. Titans being gigantic elder Greek god guys. And I love the dynamic between... Giganta is a character, I don't know, whatever. It's a lady who gets really big. But G. Willow Wilson writing this has given her a personality. And so, you know, that thing where someone gives a character that you've always known about but never cared about a personality, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I really like this.
And also there's just this kind of cool dynamic where, like, she's warming up to a character that since the 60s she's hated and fought. And well, you know.
And Giganta didn't, I think Giganta used to be literally used to be a gorilla that was turned into a human. Oh. I think in non-current continuity it's a woman, it's always been a woman, but like I think that's the actual original origin of Giganta. But anyway, that book, Wonder Woman number 67 by G. Willow Wilson and Carrie Nord, is out. And it's a part two of a story, so track down the last one if you didn't get it. Really good. We're going to really briefly acknowledge the fact that Heroes in Crisis number 7 came out.
Yes.
I need say no more about Heroes in Crisis.
They're heroes. They are in crisis.
Yeah, so sort of. They are heroes. They are reading poetry out loud for 30 issues or 30 pages or 20 pages or however long the thing is. Whatever. Anyway, what's next?
Extremis number 2 from the Age of X-Men.
Yeah.
This was plotty and meandery.
A little bit.
Not as exciting as I'd hoped.
It doesn't feel as vital.
It does not.
Age of X-Men. Which,
as some of them did.
Yeah.
So meh.
But it's out.
And it's not bad. It's just it doesn't feel as important as a lot of them do.
My advice to anyone assembling a team of X characters would be make sure they are all visually identifiable enough that you don't have to put a caption saying who the character is so you know.
I agree.
It's like because you're putting them in different costumes, so you don't even have like the costume identifier, and it's like North Star. And it's like, how would I know this is North Star unless you literally put a caption on it? Like, just pick someone else. Does that have to be North Star? It could be Banshee. I'd know who Banshee was if you had to picture him next to another guy with similar to North Star looks, or
well,
at least
one of them's Blob. You can identify him.
Yeah, Blob, and they give him a weird handlebar mustache, which I do. I kind of like his handlebar
mustache.
I'm down. Fred J. Dukes. You can have that handlebar mustache forever, as far as I'm concerned.
X-Force, number 5.
It was actually fun. Yeah. I dug it. I skimmed it, 100% skim. But it has the Strife character and all those Mutant Liberation Front guys. So it's kind of like a throwback to classic X-Force.
Yeah, I think this is the first time this has kind of been, for me, where I thought they were going to go with it from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool. These are all X-Men characters. These are all Cable characters. Awesome. Yeah. I want to read this 90s throwback nonsense because I'm having weird nostalgia pangs.
Yeah, totally.
And I
had a fun nostalgia because I didn't read Cable for very much, but there was like a weird run.
I sure read X-Men, though.
Yeah. There was a weird run of Cable that was drawn by a guy named LeDron, who I really liked, and it was very like kind of like Kirby, like in your face, kind of crazy. And there was a character in that called Blacksmith, who I think is an older Cable guy. He's in this X-Force comic, and I was like, "Ooh, it's Black B L A C Q U E Smith," and so that happened.
So.
30 Days of Night.
There's a 30 Days of Night book out.
It is. It's very thick.
It is a gigantic.
It's almost a graphic novel, I would say.
This is the Steve Niles Kelly Sue DeConnick series. I gotta say, I don't know what to think
Kelly
about
Sue DeConnick?
Yes.
Really? She writes it now?
Not now. I think this is an older series that's just kind of collected together in 100-page issues.
Okay.
But I love this story, and I do love the art and all of these things, but I don't know if this coloring style is theirs to take. I don't know if you can just take Ben's entire palette and just go, no, it was 30 Days of Night. It wasn't your art. It was what you did for 30 Days of Night. Because it's what he does. It's what he does with everything. And they've just kind of taken it over. And it's like every artist now has that brown look and the scritchy stuff. And it's like, but guys, and he lost the rights to that in his divorce. So he doesn't even make money off the old 30 Days of Night.
What? Wait, who?
Oh my God. He was at our second convention. Ben
Templesmith.
Templesmith. Yes. Thank you.
He doesn't have, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. His wife gets all the money from all the 30 Days of Night stuff.
I don't know anything about that. This isn't really my thing. I'm not,
all I know is that he was drunk at our store and he was like, don't buy that. All the money goes to my ex-wife.
Okay. Wow. You learned something.
He was a lot less angry than I made him sound. He was just kind of jovial about it, actually, because he's a pretty jovial dude. He's pretty great.
I honestly was drinking in your store, I think, during that that time when he was there.
When he was drawing cat anuses on everyone's stomach.
Yes. I forgot about that part, but I was drinking too. But I'm going to talk about something a little, just a segue, just a brief segue. We've got a lot more books to get through.
It's good to segue away from cat anuses whenever possible.
It's true. Last week, regular listeners perhaps might I am
meanwhile
100%. So in the comic zeitgeist, in the news, there was an announcement this week for a Jonathan Hickman is returning to Marvel. And he's going to do an X-Men book. And they did a art preview of it. I'm going to try to not let this be like a super long thing. Last week, we talked about the series Fallen Angels. And we talked about, which is a New Mutants spinoff. And there were a character named, his name was Gomi. And he had cybernetic lobster partners.
It's never going to stop being funny.
I know, right? He had two cybernetic lobsters. And we talked about them last week in the podcast. And then this art promo for this new Jonathan Hickman X-Men thing came out this week. No foreknowledge whatsoever, and who's in that thing but the lobster that survived the full Fallen Angels, because one of them died. But anyway, we called it.
Spoiler to that series from 1984.
If you're wondering, the next time you're reading that, you know, 3 months from now, and you're reading the Jonathan Hickman X-Men book, you can thank us.
Yes,
because if we hadn't mentioned that lobster last week, it would not. I don't care if that art was drawn first.
That
lobster was not there until we talked about it. We dreamt it back into existence via the cultural zeitgeist. So you're welcome.
You're welcome for that.
You're
lobster.
Welcome for that lobster.
If that were the case, then this next series would star Maggot.
Ooh, well, you know. I mean, hey. As long as we have this power,
okay,
we must use it responsibly and talk perfect. About Maggot every episode.
Guys, get Maggot back on the X-Men.
He has worms that live in his stomach and do his digesting for him because he's lazy.
They can digest anything.
Anything, including metal and
people.
Harsh chemicals. Let's talk about Fantastic Four number 8. In Fantastic Four number 8, Dan Slott and Aaron Cooter and some other artists, apparently several other artists, because wow, that's a lot. Stefano Caselli, David Marquez, Riley Brown, they draw Dr. Doom torturing the Fantastic Four. It's a comic. That's the Fantastic Four. They're fighting. He does this weird thing where he stretches Mr. Fantastic out, which I will say, if you're going to try to beat Mr. Fantastic, stretching him out is a good way to go.
You know?
What are you going to do? You're stretching. He's like, I'm stretched to my limits.
Too stretchy.
He's literally stretched to his limits, folks.
Okay. Here's something that I was really surprised by.
I liked it.
I don't get it. Archie Forever, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I assumed that since the Archie Forever series is pretty much going back and 60s-ifying all the Archie stuff to like be a counterpoint to like, that's kind of what I had seen it as.
I can't say that I've been paying enough attention to know what Archie Forever means.
It just seems like it was the thing that wasn't going to be Riverdale, that was going to be like less Riverdale than what they had going on. And then here comes Sabrina the Teenage Witch from the series with like these cutesy covers. And the first thing that shows up is a Wendigo.
Yeah.
Like, you've got cannibalism showing up in your first issue.
Okay, so I watched the Sabrina Netflix or whatever flicks thing it's on, and I did not enjoy it. I mean, I watched all of them because...
So you enjoyed it a bit.
I enjoyed it a bit. But it was needlessly dark, like many things. And anyway, and just like cheesily like serious about like devil worship and stuff like that. So when they announced that there was going to be a Sabrina series that was like kind of not stupid, but like not so like, you know, two pages of incantations, you know, or whatever. I thought, you know, whatever, I'll check it out. It ended up being, so this is Kelly Thompson, who writes West Coast Adventures, which is great. And she also writes something else that I like that's great. And
Veronica and Andy Fish, too.
Yeah, and Veronica Fish, Andy Fish. So this is, Kelly Thompson is, at this point for me, like, on site. Anything she does, I will at least seriously consider. She's great. Like, has not let me down at all. She's a great writer. Sabrina was fun. It was a little dark. It had a Wendigo, but like it wasn't like you didn't have to see the Wendigo devour someone from the inside. It wasn't Roberto Aguirre Sicarsa.
It was interesting. It was like it was actually actiony. Like it was there was stuff going on that was kind of like intense and fun
and high school stuff.
But it's like but it was like comic book intense, not like the Sabrina from the horror series.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which I also enjoyed the horror Sabrina, but this is its own thing, and I'm actually really digging this version as well. So,
and I think in the last Archie comic I read for the podcast, Sabrina and Archie were a couple.
Oh, weird.
So, if this is in that continuity, then maybe, and that might have said Archie Forever on it. I'm not sure. Maybe that's just how you can tell these comics are linked, and they just call it Archie Forever. I don't really know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Shazam.
Shazam knows.
We got to keep this ball rolling.
We do.
Because we still have a lot more to go through.
Guys, did you miss Tawny Tiger? Well.
Is he in that?
What?
I didn't read it.
Talkie Tawny.
Oh, man. I love Talkie Tawny.
So, yeah, we get introduced to the world of animals. So we're going to start getting some Hoppy and some...
Oh, Hoppy the Marvel Bunny?
I mean, I haven't seen him yet, but I assume this is the world of talking animals.
The wild lands. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is Talkie Tawny. Oh, my God, how did I miss this?
Yeah.
Hooray.
So this is cool. I really dug this. I think this was the most... I don't know. I actually enjoyed the last two, or last one at least, of Shazam. I thought the first two were kind of boring and kind of too many Shazams.
Yeah, there's too many Shazams.
Because you've got that whole family. It's kind of too much.
Yeah.
But I thought the last one was cool. It had a real, like, I don't know, young Justice. Not Young Justice. I don't know. The World Without Super, or World Without Adults.
Oh,
what was that called?
Was Young Justice. It was called World Without Grownups.
That one. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. It had a real feel of that kind of thing to it
to me.
And I dug that.
The art's great. Dale Eaglesham.
Yeah, great
Jeff
art.
John's writing it. It's, I like I said, the only problem I have with this is too many Shazams.
I think it's pulling itself back together, and also... Yep. This one has the character that everybody's been waiting for. So,
Talkie Tawny?
Yes. And also another one.
No, it's that guy. The one, the badass guy that everybody likes.
Yes. Okay, so Hunted, Amazing Spider-Man 18, continuing the Kraven the Hunter story, which is so fun. I've been waiting for something fun to happen with this, and...
I like Humberto Ramos.
I love Humberto Ramos, and I also really like the character that's introduced in this, but it's the spoiler for the end, so I won't mention it. But also always one of my favorite characters from the last 10 years.
Every time
he shows up, I'm really stoked. Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay. Well,
you'll have to tell me after the podcast, because I straight up don't know who that is.
Yeah. He was a Straczynski era character.
Okay, cool. It was good. Can I talk about Skyward? Number 11 member during the entire last arc of Skyward, I was like, I don't know about this book. I like the first issues, and then I didn't like the second ones. Well, this is the third arc. This is Joe Henderson and Lee Garbett pulled it back, 100% pulled it back from the brink. Skyward, I'm back. There was a little part of it in the middle that was kind of wonky and hard to follow visually, but other than that, right on. They brought it 100% back. I'm down. I love Skyward. This is Image. Is this Skybound Image? No, this is just regular Image. Fix the world. This is a world where gravity has gone haywire. Everything is lighter. People can fall off the planet. It's crazy. It's terrifying. This brings it literally in another direction.
Whoa.
Spoiler.
I get it. okay, so Superior Spider-Man number 4. A very fun series.
I've
been digging it. Yeah, it's great. I don't know. It's not selling terribly well. I'm surprised. I thought it was really good.
I will, as a casual reader, it feels superfluous.
Really, it's funny because as somebody who was really stoked about the whole Superior run, I'm really glad to see the characters come back. I especially like Octavius's girlfriend, the little person that she marries from the thing. It's like, yeah. I liked that. Like, I love that dynamic. And when that ended, I was like, oh man, I'm going to miss this dynamic of these two characters. And I was really glad to see it come back in this book. Like, I think honestly, the takeaway from this book is her, but
is she still in it?
She is. And it's also, but it is also like, I like the monologue-y super villain, Otto Octavius thing. And I just like him because he's always been the worst example of like bad writing in superheroes. And it's always fun to have that like 10 levels over the top super villain monologues.
And this is Christos Gage.
And this has him as a good guy. And
is this on regular? Yeah, is this on regular planet Earth?
Yeah.
Marvel Earth.
Yeah, this is just.
He's just Spider-Man again.
No, he's just San Francisco Spider-Man.
Okay.
So,
because he was Dr. Octopus again, and he had a weird Nazi haircut.
So for those who have not followed through this entire eventuality, in the beginning of Superior Spider-Man.
That I followed.
Yeah, he sucked his brain into a thing, blah, blah, blah. Now he is in a cloned body of Peter Parker.
Yes.
And so he has...
But he's no longer Octopus at all. He's Spider-Man.
Except that he has built himself octopus arms that are more like the Iron Spider kind of costume.
Okay.
So he does still kind of have the...
Maybe that's what's holding people back.
The octopus arms.
They think it's another tie-in to Spider Clem.
Either way... So good. I think
The Adventures of Spider Clem. I've just created a new Spider-Man.
I love Spider Clem. Another thing I really liked was this. Star Wars Vader Dark Visions.
There is a one-page scene in that Vader book that I think any Star Wars fan would not be able to look upon and not be like, yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
I'll say that.
And I think that's the whole point of this.
Yeah.
I think if you were wondering why these things were made, it's basically to insert... the character of Darth Vader into different situations and show insane things that explain why he has such a mythos behind him.
And this
to be like, why would someone really care about this guy who breathes bad and does this? He's never really done anything that impressive. Well, here are all the really impressive things that he did.
Yeah, this one in particular is literally entirely about how scared of Darth Vader people are.
Yes.
Anyway,
Sharky.
Sharky is out. That is a Mark Millar. Who's the artist?
That
Bianchi.
Guy. Yeah, Simone Bianchi.
Yeah,
such cool art.
Yeah,
I mean it's definitely like a heavy metal story, come into a full sized comic, and it also is kind of like what if Lobo and Lemmy had a baby.
And
which I like.
That is cool. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur
number 41.
41 issues.
I'm so glad that it's still going after 41 issues.
Man, great art.
And this is a particularly wonderful issue.
Yeah, this is a conclusion to an arc with a character who is like Bad Dream, the son or daughter of Nightmare, which I thought was a clever thing and cool and fun and fantasy and all ages and great.
And Sleepwalker shows up.
Sleepwalker Texas Ranger.
Sleepwalker Texas Sleep Ranger. He's here. He's going to be ranging. Man, I love it.
Yeah. It's a great book.
It's so wonderful. Like this is one of the best written kids books. Just period.
Yep.
Like it's so inspiring and fun and positive and wacky and artistic and clever. God damn it. Get your kids to read it. And you read it too, because it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's also just a fun comic.
Yeah. We're going to briefly mention, I love this series, but I did not read this issue because it is sometimes you pass over the ones that you are looking forward to read because you don't want to skim through them for a podcast. And this is called Martian Manhunter number 4.
Oh, man.
It is written by Steve Orlando and drawn by Riley Rossmo. It is great. Martian Manhunter's new series. If you're not reading it, get them all. Get them.
Martian Mellow Hunter.
He's Martian and mellow. Yo, man. It's the...
Okay, so
Justice League Odyssey.
I don't like this series at all, but this is Abnett. Like Abnett and Lanning?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure. I don't know any other Abnetts.
Holy shit. Is that, has that been going on this whole time?
I think I don't know.
Wow, that's crazy.
I do not know. I do know that this is a Justice League comic starring some ancillary characters and also Starfire, and they are in some kind of uncharted sector of space, and they are doing
art
some...
is really good.
Yeah, no, it's a nice looking
book. I really don't like this book, but but I love Abnett. I love his writing, and this art is incredible.
You know, maybe this is Justice League Annihilation.
Yeah, maybe this is getting better.
Yeah, I don't know. Check it out.
Maybe I need to get back on this.
Get on that Justice League Odyssey horse, number 7.
Oh, nope. This was just a damage from last week that we finally got repairs for.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll skip that. Is this also that?
Nope. Riri Williams is new this week. So Ironheart. I did not read this.
I also didn't read it.
But I've been digging the other one, so I'm sure it's good.
It looks cool cover.
Yep. Let's see. Invaders also didn't read this.
Yeah, we can probably just skim through this pile.
Oh,
this remaining pile. Oh, we already talked about Heroes
of Crisis. How can we not talk about Hulkvereens?
Hulkvereens? Now. I also didn't read. Go figure.
You see, he's a Wolverine who's also a Hulk.
Yeah, he's also a Hulk. This is one of those things where it's like, Marvel, do you really need to put out this book? Is there really a huge market for Hulkvereens?
There kind of is. I think it's okay. I'm all for it.
I mean, you know, when I'm thinking about how to make characters seem unique and interesting, I know that creating an entire military squad of clones of them is definitely... You know, remember when there were 35 Supermen and everybody was like, let's have this Crisis on Infinite Earths where we crush all of the Earths into powder and have there just be one.
Let's get rid of all this nonsense. Yeah. Well, you know, once they dig themselves a hole deep enough.
Speaking of crushing the Earth into powder, if you are tired of the Earth being crushed into powder in the current Hellboy BPRD series, you can read Hellboy in the BPRD 1956, number 5, which is the last issue of this miniseries, which... is at least partially about him being sad about his dog dying.
Oh, god damn it, that again?
It's the whole thing, the whole series.
Jesus.
His dog died, he got really sad, he went to Mexico, he got hammered.
Oh,
he wrestled in some wrestling matches.
That's right.
And I think.
That
I don't
seems
know.
Unfair.
I like Hellboy. I passed the point a while ago where I bought every Hellboy comic that came out. But this is Luchador Hellboy. There's a really cool thing where he dresses up like a devil luchador and does some wrestling while he's hammered. It's a fun series, good art.
Well, let me tell you, there's no better segue into
than,
hey,
whoa,
guess what?
Hey,
it's the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Number one.
So we have this. This is based on the TV series of the same name. But it's also written by Teenie Howard. So that's pretty cool. It's, you know, if you like the TV show, you're going to love this. It's just another, like, pretty positive girl power-y kind of, like... well-drawn, well-written story. It's fun.
Also, I missed my cue from the beginning of talking about this
comic. Sorry.
Oh, wait, no, wrong one. Wrong. No, shit.
Hold
on.
Perfect.
That was
you
my
got
cue.
It.
I
awesome.
Got it. There,
good.
I just ruined everything. the podcast will suck from this point
you
forward.
That's it. But Glow is out from IDW. Definitely better than you would expect for something based on the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
It looks good. I mean, the art looks good. The writing looked like fun. Like a fun comic about this comedy show.
I'm just going to skip right into this as well.
Oh, this looks great.
This is because, speaking of positive female role models here, Femme Magnifique, the 10 Magnificent Women Who Changed the World. This is... nuts.
Yeah.
This is like a lineup of amazing stuff. Getting specifically one of my favorite things that's in here is that there's a story about the story of Kate Bush.
Yeah, there's
by Gail Simone and Marguerite Savage.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, come on.
Yeah,
awesome.
There's like Maris Wicks and like
Hillary Clinton by Kelly Sue DeConnick and
that one was a little trippy for it being about Hillary Clinton.
Harriet Tubman with Jordy Belair and Chuck Brown and Sanford Green. Come on.
Yeah, there's some actually
this
some
crazy
of this is like
cool.
Really cool, really strong. This is from Black Mask?
No, this is Black Crown.
Black
this is the
Crown,
the IDW series. The or
cool.
Whatever you call it.
Yeah.
In print.
I picked it up. Nuts. I didn't know what
it's
it was going to be.
It's so good. It's so it much, cool. So many cool names and so much cool stuff in it. Really impressive.
Sally Ride. Man. So like, it's like basically, it's like, obviously 10 magnificent women who changed the world. It's like a bunch of biographical comic vignettes.
Done by very cool people.
By very, very talented people.
Fight Night 3 is out. Fight Club 3, number
Fright
3.
Night.
Fright Night, Fight Fight.
Fright Night. They should do a crossover.
Fright Club. That's actually Fright Club's not bad. I would actually probably read a comic called Fright Club.
Also, Flash 67 was weird. The Trickster is the original Trickster is back, and he is doing some weird stuff. I didn't really understand it, but it's a Flash comic, and it came out. All right, now we're down to the home stretch. We probably should have talked about this comic, but for some reason, it ended up on the bottom of the pile. Detective
Ooh
Comics
boy.
Number 1000 is out this week. There are 8 million covers, although the only one you'll want is the one with Robot, Rip Van Batman, and Zebra Batman on the cover, and also Bat Boy, and Rainbow Batman, and Underwater Batman, and all of the fun Batman. This is actually, it's like just like the Action Comics 1000. It's, you know, it's really long because it's a bunch of short stories. Although there is a in-continuity style introduction of a new character, so it has some collector value perhaps as well, beyond just being the 1,000th issue of Detective Comics. But it was you know, for a $10 comic book, it was good. Some bit stronger than other, but there was a Warren Ellis has a story in it.
Yeah.
There was some
good
fun stuff.
Some
fun stuff. You got your Jeff Johns. You got your Scott Snyder. You got all those guys.
Do you have your Mega Ghost?
No, because I have this issue of Mega Ghost from Albatross, and it is number 4. And I love Mega Ghost. Mega Ghost is fun. It's so fun.
If you want to raise smart, interesting children, these are the comics to get. It's basically get Albatross's books for your kids. Get Mega Ghost and Spook House. Like, they're doing such cool things. It's like there are so many generic nonsense comics that you can get that are geared towards kids, but then there are interesting things that would make for a smart, interesting child, like Mega Ghost, for example.
So this is a child who finds a ring that gives him the power to control 3 different ghosts who can also have the power to combine into one Mega Ghost.
Voltronize.
But I will say, while I do really like the writing, who is by Gabe Soria, the art, letters, and colors are by Gideon Kendall, who is like a modern day Jack Davis. I love the art and coloring, and it just has such a cool, unique style. I can't say enough good things about Mega Ghost from Albatross Funny Books.
With you 100%.
I'm also going to really briefly mention moving on the variant cover of Dial H. We talked about Dial H earlier. There's a variant cover by Nick Darrington, who's like one of my favorite artists currently working in comics, and it's just all these different random looking guys. But if you look at this cover, if you're thinking of getting check out the variant cover, because every single character on that cover, and there are dozens of them, they are all real superheroes from the original Dial H comic, including some who were suggested by fans. Because Dial H at one point had like, you send us your ideas for superheroes and we will put them in there.
I remember that.
And that is where How's This and What's This come from, I believe.
I think you're right.
Who are on the cover of this.
I think I remember this story about that from when it was relaunched in the New 52. Which was also a really fun series.
Yeah, no, I really liked the H. It was called something. It wasn't called Dial H for Hero. It was just called Dial H.
Yeah, I think it was
just called Dial H. That was actually, oh man, that was such a good book.
It was.
Great book. Find that and trade. Freedom Fighters, number 4 of 12, is out. I think Freedom Fighters is just one of the strongest books DC is putting out. It is so fun. It's a alternate Earth where the Nazis won World War II. There's a bunch of superheroes, like a handful of superheroes who are fighting the freedom fighters who are fighting Nazis. And the Nazis have their own Mount Rushmore, which gets blown up in this issue. It happens really quickly, so whatever. I'm not spoiling too much. But how they blow it up is crazy. It involves the human bomb, but in a way that is nuts. Totally nuts. Totally nuts.
Yeah,
I
great.
Really like Freedom Fighters, and also still continuing to use the word ratsy at least 3 times per issue, which strong. It's getting a little on the like, okay, maybe back off on ratsy, but nah, keep going. Books of Magic number 6 is out by Cat Howard and Tom Fowler. I love Tom Fowler. I love that he's on this book. I really liked the last issue. Was a little out there for me because he went into the dream world realm, which I always find a little weird. But in this one, it's more of like his friend is missing and he's trying to figure it out, what is going on, and he's a pissed off kid. So Books of Magic number 6, great art, great story, super fun. Action Comics 1009 is out.
Jesus Christ.
1009. This is leading up to, okay, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I mean, you have to wait until I'm wrong to correct me. Also, just telling me I'm wrong isn't the same as correcting
me. Okay, sorry.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
All right.
But DC has announced a new event for the Bendis stuff, and it is called Event Leviathan.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay, that is a weird name for event. I like it.
Is it literally like...
I think it is.
I wasn't sure if that was like...
They're calling it Event Leviathan.
Okay, I'm into that.
It's like, it's not just called Leviathan. It's called Event Leviathan. I like it. Its name is on its sleeve. It's Event Leviathan. I think, I don't know how it'll make sense, but you know, whatever. This is leading into that. There's a mystery. It involves Amanda Waller. The Question is a super badass.
Whoa.
And he is in this.
I didn't read it.
Yeah,
oh,
he
shit.
Is badass. I love Bendis' take on Question. I love... and there is a new, it's not a first, well, it's a first appearance, but it's not a first appearance of an original character. It's a new in-continuity appearance of a form of kryptonite that has not been used at least since John Byrne took over Man of Steel in the 80s, which has a specific effect on Superman, which is now back in continuity, and I dig it. I really like it. I really like it. Steve Epting has been doing the art on the last few issues of this. He is awesome. I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. I could give or take Superman. Action Comics is amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. We should talk about this number one issue from Dark Horse called Bad Luck Chuck, which I liked. The story of this is it's like if the Black Cat was in a world of superhero, non-superhero world. So this is a woman who has bad luck, curse, powers, whatever. Bad stuff happens. So what she does is she rents her services out to people who want revenge on certain people. She'll be like, you want revenge on someone? I'll just hang out next to them for a while and they'll probably die. And then the people will give her money for it. And I think it's a fantastic idea.
It's a good
this
premise.
Will definitely be a TV show if I have any kind of radar about this. And it's a good first issue. The artist is Matthew Dow Smith, who has been around for a very long time and has a very unique and cool style, very kind of almost like a. I don't want to compare him to Sean Phillips, but like, you know, kind
Ooh,
of
it looks
like
Sean Phillips.
It doesn't look like Sean Phillips, but it has like a real world kind of like not like intricately immaculately drawn, it's a believable world rooted in real world physics.
It reminds me of what Alias looked like.
Gados, another good example, Touchstone. So anyway, this is a new Dark Horse book. Number one is out. And I expect that there will be things coming from this Bad Luck Chuck, number one. Who's the writer? I don't know.
Leela Gwen.
I don't know who that
is. Unfamiliar.
Okay. But yeah.
Yeah, that's maybe perhaps a new person. Who knows?
Yeah, it's just, I don't understand why, I guess her name is, I flipped it. I guess her name is Chuck. I don't know. That's the only thing I don't understand about it. But great premise. Batman Beyond number 30 is out. This is a buy on site for me because it has a cover by Chris Samnee and has interior art by Doc Shaner. It is written by Dan Jurgens, and it is Batman Beyond and his new Robin and what becomes of that scenario. Good issue. I liked it. And then finally, the last book in our epic length list of books to talk about, Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 9 is the newest. So Black Hammer is just one of the best comic series going. It's so good. Is a new status quo. They realized where they were. They moved to a new place. Things are crazy and not so great for the heroes of Black Hammer. And that is Jeff Lemire and Dean Ormston and Dave Stewart on colors. I'm sorry to all of the colorists who I didn't mention, but this podcast would be 3 times longer if I had done that. That's my excuse. My excuse is that I just wasn't sure if they were the colorist or not based on the cover.
By talking really fast, we managed to get in on 45 minutes.
Holy shit.
I know. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, we did this like old-timey fast talking.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about these comic books. See, first off, we got Black Hammer. Black Hammer number 9. And then we got Black Hammer. Also, if we have a little extra time, I did some homework. It's nothing major. These are trade paperbacks that are out this week.
Nice.
Barrier. It's not really a trade paperback. It is a slipcover edition of all 5 issues of the comic, which is the sideways comic from Brian K. Vaughan and Marcus Martin about aliens who take one person from Texas and one person from Mexico and onto their ship, and they have to learn to navigate this alien ship together. I mean, not steer it, but like get there, figure it out. Anyway, whatever. It's a comic. here's a rundown of some trades that are out. Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos collection. We have a Ms. Marvel trade. We have a Red Hood.
The 10th Ms. Marvel collection.
10th. Whoa. Red Hood and the Outlaws. We have a Hulk Wolverine. Oh, that's just the dollar comic.
Oh no! Actually, that's pretty cool. There's a reprint of the first appearance of Wolverine, first full appearance, the 181, Hulk 181, and it's one of those cool Marvel like replica editions where they use the really nice high quality covers, high quality interiors, and it's all like digitally retouched and all that stuff. But it keeps all the ads and all that.
Digitally retouch the ads as well?
I think so. Yeah, that's all that stuff looks like, you know, it all looks super good.
That's cool.
I've really dug all of them. They did Guardians of the Galaxy. Did one of the like really key Silver Surfer issues.
What?
Yeah. So
I keep thinking they're trades, and I don't look at them. I should have looked at that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh well, I don't need an excuse to spend more money.
Because you know you don't want to spend $1,000 on a garbage copy of the first appearance of Wolverine,
or do you?
Like literally the price of it these days. It's like absolutely absurd. So you know, here's exactly the same thing, only maybe even better. So
neat.
Whatever,
it looks better. So we have also Justice League No Justice trade paperback.
Yep.
And then we also have My Little Pony.
Yes.
Next up we have a What If trade, a Spawn trade, a Lumberjanes trade, a Secret Weapons trade.
Yeah, that Spawn trade is the Spawn
Hell on Earth,
which was the Eric Larson. Yeah, there's a lot of Eric Larson in it, and then there are other artists afterwards, but that's the big Eric Larson arc of Spawn.
Also
has his character that carries over that he stole back for Savage Dragon.
Nice.
The Red Ant or whatever that character is. I can't remember the name.
Oh, yeah. You have a Horror Hound magazine.
Horror Hound is out this week.
Horror Hound has a pet cemetery, which I saw the trailer of and looks spooky as hell.
So excited.
Because I went and saw Us this week and it's good and you should go see it because it's good.
Awesome.
Also Monster Magazine. What's that monster? Famous Monsters of... What is it? Monster Memories.
What is that thing? There's a weird Monster Mag.
Ray Harryhausen. It has a Clash of the Titans on the cover. Mass Trades, Flash Trade, and... Is that...
And also there's a bunch of toys out this week.
Yeah.
Specifically, there's a 112 Collective Jason Voorhees that's up on the website. We got the little nightlight coochie copies from Bob's Burgers, which are really awesome. They're little glowing night lamps that are like 5 inches tall, but like Nice. Battery-operated glowing coochie copies. Nice. And something else cool. I can't remember what. Oh, yeah, the City Hunter Predator from Predator 2. What? So make sure you buy, everybody buy as many of those as you possibly can, because if you do, that probably means that they'll make a Danny Glover for the next one, because I really want a Danny Glover action figure. You know, he could come with the little gun that he gets at the end.
Really,
so
not
good.
A Danny Glover action figure of any kind ever?
NECA has made so many Predator figures, and they've somehow never made a Danny Glover from Predator 2.
I mean, even Minimates made like 15 different like Predators.
Yeah,
like,
seriously. Danny Glover Predator. That's what we need. We need him. We need that
as
figure.
The Predator.
No.
Just the Predator body with Danny Glover's head.
I just want him, and I want that gun that he gets at the end of Predator 2, the little, like,
I've never seen Predator
Civil War gun. Ooh. From the first Predator, for the first person that the Predator lost to.
Who else is in Predator 2?
Everybody from Aliens.
Is Maria Conchita Alonso in
yes,
that movie?
Yes, she is.
Yeah. I don't know why I remember that. I think just because I like her name.
And, like, a ton of people from Aliens. It's very, like... Oh, Aliens was a good movie. Let's
put all of the Predator movies.
Let's kind of Aliens this Predator movie, and it worked, and it's an awesome movie.
Okay, Predator 2.
Predator 2, watch it. It's great.
I will.
All right.
Challenge accepted.
Nice. All right, guys. I think that's it.
Yeah, we talked and talked, and now we can talk no more.
Awesome.
Buy stuff on the website. Go to Coast City. There's so many comics. We didn't even bring them all here.
CoastCityComics.com. I'm actually at Comics on, yes. On the Instagrams, yes. At Coast City Comics. And again, Funbox Monster Podcast is on hiatus until Matt gets back from Florida. He is wrestling gators.
And hopefully buying video cassettes.
And definitely, I'm almost positive he's buying video cassettes. And that's going to be it. Nice. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Coming down on me. If I had one wish, I'd wish this all away.